We continue our learning. We are in Pesach and Perigud, Mishnah Test, the final Mishnah in the Masechta. HaPesach achar chatzos mitameis hayadayim. The Korban Pesach after chatzos halayla, the night of the Seder, makes a person's hands a tameh, makes them contaminated. Why is that so? So this was a gzera de Rabbanan. The Rabbanan decreed it. We don't want to people to be lazy. The Bar Tuner says, shelo yis'atzlu b'achilaso. In order that people make sure that they eat it properly, this way, after chatzos, you know your hands become tameh. People who were very serious about their hands becoming tameh. This way, people would make sure to have it before chatzos. Now, why are we eating the Korban Pesach by chatzos? Meaning, why are we saying that your hands are tummy so that we ensure you eat it by chatzos? So this is subject to machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which we've mentioned in the past. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah ben Atorah, you can only eat the Korban Pesach until chatzos. That's why we try to eat the afikomen by chatzos. We try to follow that position. That seems to be the position of the anonymous Mishnah at the end of Ezu Mekomen, the fifth parak of Zvachim. That means Oraisa, it's only eaten at that time. That's called Shas Chipazon. It was the moment of Makas Bechoros. That should be the last moment of eating the Korban Pesach. So after chatzos, it's Mitami Yadayim, because at that point, it officially becomes no sir, it's leftover. Based on the psukim, we can only burn it. We can't burn the next morning. We burn it on Chol HaMoed. But nonetheless, it is going to be prohibited at that point. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's true that it's not noser till the morning. But nonetheless, and I can eat my Korban Pesach, I could, according to him, officially, midoraisa, should be able to eat it beyond chatzos till alos hashachar the next morning. But the Ramana nonetheless made a gzera also, based on the first Mishnah in Brachos, that we want to make sure that you are going to eat we should be sure that we should finish the Korban Pesach by that time. So the Tumas Hayadai makes sense according to Rabbi Akiva as well. And then the Mishnah says, "Hapigol v'hanosar mitamenes hayadayim." Pigol is where we have a kohen. We've mentioned pigol in the past. A person, let's say the kohen during one of the four activities, avodos of the korban, shchita or kabbalas adam or holacha or zrika, he had in mind that he's going to eat from the meat or maybe burn the parts of the animal on the mizbeach beyond the allotted time of the Torah. So let's say you have a korban shlomim, which we eat for 2 days and a night in between, and the Kohen has in mind as he's shechting the animal, he's going to eat for it for 3 days, so let's say. So that would render it pigul. And pigul, which is an isser kares if you eat it, the Mishnah here says, pigul also is mitame yadayim, is going to be mitame your hands, and vahanosar mitame nasadayim. No, so the leftover meat is also going to be, mitame a person's hands. So the Korban Pesach after chatzos is mitame yadayim, and pigul and nosar would be whenever that meat part of that of a particular carbon is left over, are mitame yadayim as well, all migzera de rabbanim. This way, people would be strict to make sure not to make something pigul or nosar, because people seem to have been strict that their hands not become tameh. So therefore, this would help facilitate that. Says the Mishnah Perach Birkas HaPesach Patar Eshel Zevach. We remind ourselves there was the Chagigas Yedalit, which a person ate in order to be full so that he could eat the Korban Pesach al Hasova. So you make a bracha. The Bar Tuner tells you, Birkas HaPesach was Asher Kedishonim Sevzivanu Lechol HaPesach. And for the Chagigas Yedalit, you would say Asher Kedishonim Sevzivanu Lechol HaZevach. So the Mishnah here says, if you made the bracha on the Korban Pesach, that will exempt a bracha on the zevach. You don't have to make a bracha on the zevach. We obviously should ask the question, why am I eating the Korban Pesach before the zevach, before the Chagigas Yedalit? It was that I ate the Chagigas Yedalit, so it haven't happened. So I would be full and eat the Korban Pesach al hasova. So we spoke about the possibility, maybe that's because I don't want to break a bone. But either way, why am I making a bracha on the berchas on the Korban Pesach before the Chagigas Yedalit? So some explain that based on the Rambam claimed that you would eat the Korban Pesach 2 times. You'd eat 2 times during the meal, one right at the beginning with matzah mor, and then you'd have it at the end as well. So you could have a case where the Chagigas Yedalit was eaten after the Korban Pesach, and then you'd have your final Korban Pesach, the final Kizayis afterwards. So if you make the bracha on the Korban Pesach, it exempts, you don't need a separate bracha on the Zevach. But Berach, Aes Shel Zevach, Lo Patar Es Shel Pesach. But if you made a bracha on the Zevach, on the Chagigas Yidalid, that does not exempt the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach would need its own bracha, and this is all Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Why is that so? So the Gemara explains that when it comes to the Korban Pesach I don't call a Zevach. The Korban Pesach, a Zevach, is where I'm sprinkling the blood on the Mizbeach from a distance. The Korban Pesach, we just pour it right down and Keneged HaYisod, right next to the Yisod, the bottom of the Mizbeach. So it's not called a Zevach. A Zevach has its own halachos of sprinkling, and that is a category of Korbanos in general. The Korban Pesach, though, you don't call a Zevach. But the other way, we would say like this, if I make the brach on the Korban Pesach, so that will exempt the Zevach, that would be sufficient, because after all, I am eating the Zevach for the purposes of the Korban Pesach, certainly one way to explain it. And then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, lozo poterizo, velozo poterizo. No, neither one exempts the other. The Korban Pesach bracha will not exempt the Zevach, just like the Zevach will not exempt the Korban Pesach. Either way, he says, when it comes to the other karbanos, one of the explanations as well to why it is that the Korban Pesach bracha can pater the Zevach, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is that if, let's say, I would pour down the blood in such a way as I would normally do for the Korban Pesach, I did that for another karban, so according to Rabbi Shmuel, that would be acceptable b'di'evet. However, Rabbi Akiva says, not true. If you would pour the Zevach the same way, sprinkling, this special sprinkling wouldn't apply to the Korban Pesach. Zevach doesn't pater Zevach. Pesach doesn't pater Zevach. If you did that kind of pouring for another Korban, that would not be acceptable, even b'di'evet. We begin Machseches Shkolim. Torah speaks about, in the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, a mitzvah of giving a machitz shekel, half a shekel. That is not just a mitzvah at that time to count the Jewish people. This was a mitzvah ledoros for future generations to give a half shekel every person, whether poor or rich. You have to give every year for the purpose of the Korbanos Tzibur. We had to collect money for the Korban HaTamid and the Korban HaMusaf and the Omer and the Shtei HaLechem, the Lechem HaPanim, and all of that. We even have references to this shekel, payment as this tax, so to speak, even in Melachim days, when it came to the king Yehoash, there was discussion about the Kesef Over of the Machzis HaShekel, Divrei Hayamim days, as well when we have Yehoash speaking about this gift from the days of Moshe as well. And even in Nehemiah, they speak about a Shlishis HaShekel B'Shana in the 10th parak there, La Avodas Beis Elokeinu, and there's a discussion how the half shekel became a third of shekel, third shekel, but nonetheless, this is the din of Machzis HaShekel. The Mishnah here teaches us, first Mishnah, when we would begin collecting these shkolim. Ba'echad ba'adar mashmi'in ala shkolim v'ala kilayim. So it was the first of Adar that they would announce the shekel, I mean, announce throughout the cities of the Jewish people that people should bring their shekel. Because Rosh Chodesh Nisan is when we began to buy the Korbanos Tzibur from the new shkolim. So therefore, a month earlier, we have to make that announcement. Very consistent, the halachos of Shol and the Darshan Behilchos HaChag Kodim L'Chag Shloshim Yom, that 30 days before a holiday, begin to study the laws of the holiday. That's certainly true when it comes to Pesach, but according to many, it's relevant for all holidays as well. And even according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says that this din of Shol and Bidarshin applies only 2 weeks in advance, we nonetheless have to begin announcing on Echad Ba'adar, because we're going to see that the bankers, the Shulchan, the money exchangers, on the 15th of Adar, were sitting in the cities, Yosvin de Medina, and therefore we have to announce in advance, a couple of weeks in advance, because that's when the money was going to be exchanged. And the Gemara has this idea as well, that Be'echad Ba'adar Mashmir Al Ashkolim, because we want to precede that which Haman wanted to do, Lishkol Al Yisrael, which was on Purim. So we want to preempt him and do this this on the beginning of Adar instead of when he was doing it as the poor was on the 13th of Adar. So we make that announcement for Shkalim on Echad B'Adar v'ala Kelayim. We also make an announcement for Kelayim. Kelayim is when we have intermingling of seeds. We're a little bit we're more strict when it comes to a kerem, where I have, let's say, where I have a vineyard and I have other seeds that are barley and wheat mixed together. There, we're more strict. That is usher bahana, and it has to be burnt based on the pasuk pen tikdash hamaleah, and we say pen tikdash is pen tukadesh. It must be burnt. But either way, the Mishnah is making an announcement that we have to realize that on the Echad B'Adar, we have to pay attention to what if there's any kilayim, and if there is, we have to uproot it. Now, what has to be uprooted? We usually assume that it's less than 1/24, then we don't have to worry. It's considered batel. And others say that that depends. 1/24 may be true when bittel applies. That's the intermingling of seeds. So then we could say that's a mixture. It could be batel if it's less than 1/24. And of course, what would that mean? That if I see it's more than 1/24, I go out and I remove enough seeds on Echad B'Adar, we make the announcement to make sure that it's less than 1/24 so that it's going to be batel. But according to some, if things are already growing from those seeds, so then we don't say that batel, it's not a mixture anymore, and therefore everything has to be uprooted. It's not sufficient just to diminish it lower than the 1/24. So again, the first of Adar, we announce about the machzis ha-shekel that needs to be collected, and the kilayim to make sure that we uproot the kilayim, and then b'chamisha sarbo kones ha-megillah b'krachim, that we know. On the 15th of Adar, we read the Megillah, of course, in the big cities, as opposed to on the 14th, where we read the Krachim is the walled cities from David Yeshua ben Nun. So that's where we read on the 15th. And of course, on the 14th is Purim for everybody else. Ooh, and what else do we do on the 15th of Adar? Umisaknimis ha-durachim. We repair the roads, the drachim, the paths, vesarachovos, and the roads, which are rechava, often refers to the town square. Hashvakim, says the Bar Tunura, what happened? Well, Shinis Kalkul will be big shamib yosachoref during the winter, so they have to be cleaned out. Ole Regolem are going to be coming up in another month or for Pesach, so we have to prepare ourselves. And others say no. The reason we have to be Pesach and repair the drachim are for the murderers who killed someone b'shogeg, and they have to be able to escape, able to run from the Goel Hadam, so not trip anywhere. Tachin l'cha haderech, based on the pasuk, so that you have to prepare the streets, prepare the roads so that they can run away and save their lives. So that's what we do on the 15th of Adar. We read the Megillah in the Krachim, in the large cities, the walled cities, and we fix the paths and the town squares. Ves mikvos hamayim. We have to fix the mikvos as well. You could have dirt falls in, mud into the mikvos. You have to clean that out. Maybe the mikvos have now become lower than 40, so we have to ensure that there's enough water in the mikvos as well. The Osin Kol Tzercher Rabim, and also on the 15th of Adar, we take care of all public needs. What are public needs? So we have the Yishalmi, there is no Bavli on Shkolim, we have the Yishalmi, discusses all these things that fall into the category of Tzercher Rabim. You have Erchin, the Torah speaks about that in Pashas Bichu Kosai, where we have, there's a fixed amount of each value of people, of men, women, of different ages, and I want to give that amount to the Beis HaMikdash, and Charamim, which is also a gift, a monetary gift to the Beis HaMikdash, Hekdeshos, also somebody where I consecrate something to the Beis HaMikdash as well, treated a certain way. What about women who were a Sota? We have to make sure that we take care of that. Paraduma, Evan Hanirtza, you have a servant who wants to remain on beyond the 7 years, and a Mitzora. So all of these things had to Taras HaMitzora, the Mitzora has to have to purify him. They make sure these are all tzorchei rabim. There's also a mentioning of opening boros of mayim. You have to have cisterns to make sure that they're available for people as the weather is getting warmer and people are going to need them. That's also tzorchei rabim. And then umitzayinim esakvaros. What else do? We pour lime around the cemeteries to ensure that people know that there's a cemetery here, and Kohanim should not walk by, nor should they lean over the kvaros, because that would be Tumas Ohel. And Viyotzim Af Alekilayim. meaning after they announced on the first of Adar about Kalayim, which we mentioned, then we have Shlichei Beis Din, people who representatives of the Beis Din on the 15th of Adar, who come to check the fields and the gardens to see if the bialim, if the owners really remove the Kalayim. So, as the Mishnah said here, on the first of Adar, we announce about the Shkolim and the Kalayim, and on the 15th, we then have, of course, that's when we read the Megillah in the walled cities, but we fix the streets and the open areas, the marketplaces, the mikvos, and the whole list of tzorchei rabim, and we put lime around the cemeteries, and we go out on the 15th to see, after 15 days, to see if people were listening and uprooted their kalayim.